Good morning and welcome to the Angels Podcast. This is your host, Jack, otherwise known as Quinzit, and I appreciate very much your tuning in to the broadcast. Angels is a World of Warcraft guild, and we are on the Trelaian server. We have an altar guild in the on the Horde side on the Rune Totem server known as the Dark Angels. And we also have a 60 only guild by the name of the Chosen Few. And so we want to welcome all of the members of those guilds and anyone else who's interested in World of Warcraft who's listening in to the podcast today. We put out this weekly podcast on Maintenance Day on Tuesday mornings so that while maintenance is going on, you can hear all of the news about World of Warcraft that is taking place during the week. And in most of our programs, we offer a feature as well. And this week, we're doing a feature by request. We've been asked to talk about player versus player. And just do some work on that. And of course, that could occupy several broadcasts and probably will in the next few broadcasts. But today we'll talk about some general principles, some general things about player versus player. And so let me begin with the news. And I guess the first piece of news is that the servers for the forums is down this morning. And I can't get to the Warcraft Weekly, which is where Blizzard posts their news weekly, and so I guess we'll be a little short on some of the news today or this morning. But there are several items, of course, that we can cover, and we will cover those as we go along. First of all, let's talk about a news item that has been ongoing and now I think has begun to settle down, and that is the issue of character transfers. And over the past several weeks, we've talked about character transfers. We've gone from them saying someday we're going to institute it to them saying we're going to institute it, but when they instituted it, they only opened it up to just a very few servers. And then over a process of several days, they widened it, opened it to other servers. There were a few frustrating days in there in which they delayed or put off opening up some of the servers for transfers. But I think now everything is settled down on the character transfer service. And the servers are up and running and available. And the mad rush on that subject has ended. Some of the things that I've learned about it, and I personally didn't utilize the service. I've learned this from other players, and especially from our guildmaster, who during one of the most frustrating moments of all of this called Blizzard and talked to them about it. Blizzard has made this kind of an automated process. In other words, it's not the idea that you put in your submission and then, you know, there is a service center individual who receives your request and processes it, but rather they have made it a totally automated process. When you put in your application for transfer for player versus player, it is completely evaluated and handled by the computer in most cases. Now, I'm sure there's some cases where it'll kick it out for review or something like that, but in most cases, it is handled strictly by the computer. And it takes sometimes as much as 7 days to process it. And I guess that's an indication of how busy the computer is or things of that nature, but it does take some time to process it. And but I guess the news is that there is no more news on that. That basically the player versus, or excuse me, the character transfer service is kind of settled down, and things are humming right along on that. You can go to the website, and you might want to look at the new tier 3 raid set updates. There have been some updated of the high level armor sets for the game, and you might want to run through those, and I'm not going to go into detail on that. I'm just going to tell you that that's available, that it's there, that it's happening, and you can go to the website to look at that. Now, the next patch, which probably is coming out sometime next month, 1.12. Again, just a brief overview. It will introduce cross-realm battlegrounds. It will introduce world PvP, and it will introduce a update for the Rogue class, the last class for a major update after the release of the game. And that is what is in store for 1.12. Well, what is the new news on all of these things? First of all, on cross-realm battlegrounds, they put out a list, a battle group list. It will not be the case that all of the servers will be thrown into one pool and the battleground battles will be created out of that pool. Rather, they have divided the various servers into battleground lists. Our server, Trelaian server, is in battle group 5, and we are in there with 10 or 12 other realms, and that is, those are the realms that we will share the battlegrounds with. As we discussed last week on this subject, there are some, or week before last, I guess, they are mixing the realms. So in other words, we're going to be competing against not only normal realms, but there'll be some player versus player realms in there that we will be doing our cross-realm battlegrounds with. The end result of this is that the battlegrounds should be easier to access, and that they should be running 24 hours a day. As things are right now, for example, last night I wanted to do some battleground work, and Alterac Valley never did come up. Apparently there was not enough people to get it. This week is they're focusing on the Arathi Basin, and you know, that came up fairly regularly, and the Gulch, you know, was a little spotty as well. But hopefully, when these cross-realm battlegrounds is instituted, this will come up a little more. The battlegrounds will be available on a more regular basis. Now, the test server is open, and this is the feature they are asking the players to focus on at the time being. I'm not quite sure how the single realm, test realm, is testing that feature, but somehow or another it is. And so that is what they're focusing on. There is no new news that I'm aware of about the world PvP, except for the fact, as we noted in the last program where we talked about this, they will introduce it in 1.12 by introducing two areas. One of them is the Silthius area, and I've forgotten the other one right off the top of my head. But the Silthius area will be kind of a resource collection kind of thing, and whichever side you know, keeps and maintains the collection will get certain buffs for their side. And the other one will be kind of an area control kind of thing. But there's no news this week as far as I know on that. And on the test realm, they're asking people not to test that area yet. It's not quite done on the test realm area, so we don't really have any news on that. On the Rogue talent review, they continue to put out a post every now and again talking about some of their changes. It's very much in flux. As someone who has a 60 Rogue, I can say that I like the direction they're going, but I don't think, still don't think that they've gone far enough. But there's no real specific news with the Warcraft Weekly not being available at this moment. There's no more specific news I can give you on that. But that's 1.12. My estimation is it'll be released sometime mid-August. And of course, after that, in October, they're saying, I personally think it won't be till December, but you know, I don't have anything but a gut feeling on that. I think they'll release it in time for Christmas season, and so they get more sales and stuff. But anyway, after that will be the Burning Crusade. And so that's the news on the upcoming patches and the game update releases. The other piece of news that we want to talk about is that they put out a juicy bit on the Draenei and the Blood Elves, which will be introduced in that upgrade to the game. They will make available to the Horde side paladins through the Blood Elves, and they will make available to the Alliance side shamans through the Draenei. And so what this means is that all classes will be available to both sides. And of course, the race class combinations will not all be available, so there will still be unique things. So for example, we will not be able to create like, you know, the Tauren shaman, for example, with his special racial abilities. But nevertheless, all of the classes are now going to be available to both sides. So that means that the unique element in the in the game comes down to race, differences in race, not really differences in class anymore. And so what they've done is removed some of the uniqueness by doing this. There's no longer be unique classes in that sense. So I think, however, it's probably a good move. I think that the Shaman class has a tremendous advantage over its supposed counterpart, the Paladins, in that the totems, are so easy to put down, and they put down so many, and their effects are so widespread. And now that the Alliance will have those, I think it will help in the battlegrounds to even things up a little bit, especially in the battlegrounds that require speed, like Gulch, for example. As the Horde leave on the Gulch, as they leave the base, they go through an exit, and what does a shaman do? He drops the totem that slows all the people down around him. And, you know, he can drop them all the way across the battlefield as he goes if he wants. And now the Alliance can do the same thing, and I think that's, kind of a good equalizing kind of thing. And so that is the major news about the update that they released this week. They released some more wallpaper and fan art if you want to go look at that. They released some information on the comic contest. Again, you can go to their website and look at that. Nothing that I'm going to talk about. And they talked about the flying mounts on the site, and we talked about that in the last release, and that's still up. So there are some that is the news, the basic news for today for World of Warcraft. Want to turn now to our feature and talk with you a little bit about player versus player today. First of all, the first thing that I would want to talk with you about in regard to player versus player is that just to put it frankly, not so much in the Arathi Mountains, or not Arathi, I'm sorry, Alteric Mountains, the Alteric Valley thing, where I think it's more of an even deal. In the Alteric Valley, or the Alterac Valley, let me get it right here. My personal opinion is that it is a balanced battlefield that is a good contest. The rewards seem to me to be very appropriate. In my judgment, that is the most successful, most balanced battlefield that they put out. But my experience has been And I've seen this not only on this server, but when I was introduced to the game on the Laughing Skull server through a friend, I saw it on that server, and I saw it to a certain degree on the Rune Totem server in the Gulch, and to more of a degree in the Arathi Basin battlefields. The Horde as a whole win more of those than the Alliance do. Now, the question then becomes, why is that so? Why is it in player versus player, in those battlefields, the Horde seem to do a little bit better? And there's been a lot of explanations kind of floated about that. And I want to talk to you about those explanations just a little bit, and as kind of an introduction to player versus player this week. It's been floated, it's been said, well, the Horde are just better than the Alliance, the players are, on our server, on Trelian. And I don't think that's so. As I said, I've been exposed to the Laughing Skull server, I've been exposed to the Rune Totem server, in the Rune Totem server on the Horde side, and the same story seems to hold true. That on a whole, when you look at the whole thing, on those two battlefields, the Horde seem to win more than the Alliance do. So I don't think it's a matter of just a matter of there being better players. I just don't think that explains it, because it is too consistent. Another explanation that's been floated, some say that the Horde tend to be older, more mature players. The reason for that is the younger crowd kind of likes to play quote-unquote the good guys, and the Alliance is presumably seen as the good guys. And so you have more younger players playing the Alliance and the older players playing the Horde, and they're more experienced, and that explains it. Well, I for one would be an exception to that. I'm 49, a longtime gamer. I started playing computer games back in 1981 when Texas Instrument released the TI-99. I wrote my own programs and played games on it. And, I would be an exception to that. And, I'm just not sure that is the proper explanation. Now, to a certain degree, maybe that generalization holds true that some older players tend to appreciate the unique abilities of the Horde a little more than they do the Alliance, and maybe that's so. But I'm not sure that explains it. Another explanation that is offered for this is that the Horde questing structure demands more grouping than the Alliance does, so the Horde players play more together than the Alliance, and so they tend to be more experienced at that, and their quests tend to train them to do that a little better, and the Alliance, tend to be more individualistic. Their quests tend to be more easily accomplished by individuals, and I don't know, there may be some truth to that. Within my limited experience in playing a Horde, it did seem that was so to a certain degree. And so there may be a limited truth in that, though I don't think this is a sufficient explanation for the whole thing. And maybe when we get done, maybe our conclusion will be that all of these factor in to one degree or another. And so it's kind of a mixed bag as to why it's so. Another explanation offered is that the Alliance generally outnumber the Horde on most servers, so they group more and play more together, and so again, it's kind of an experience of playing together, and maybe that explains it. I certainly know that they do tend to look better on the battlefield. I can't tell you how many times I have stood in Warzone Gulch at the graveyard, buffing my character or preparing my character for battle, and I look out on the battlefield and I see a real tight circle of 5, 6, 7, 8 Horde together, and I can see a line of Alliance players. They're entering battle as individuals, not as a tight unit or group. And thus, each individual enters the grinding machine of that group and gets ground down before the next individual arrives. And, you know, it's clear that they seem to group better and work together better, and that the alliance tend to be more individualistic. And I think there's a certain amount of truth to this. But finally, this last explanation is the one I tend toward. You know, it seems like to me that the Horde has some slight advantages design-wise. We talked about this briefly when we talked about the Shaman class a few moments ago. That's going to be taken away now in the upcoming addition to the game. And so maybe some of this advantage will be mitigated as a result of that. But it's not just that class. It's not just the differences in class. But I think racially, the racial abilities, the hit points, so forth and so on, seemed to me to favor the Horde. And some strongly suggest, and I lean towards this as being something that has some validity, that the designers of the game like the Horde, designed the Horde because they wanted to play the Horde a certain way, and gave it a little more attention to detail, and therefore their racial and class advantages are just a little bit better than the Alliance ones. And I tend to believe that this is a factor in this. So I kind of think all of these explanations to one degree or another have some validity. I don't think any one single one of them explain it. I guess I would put out as an exception the first one, that just generally Horde is better than Alliance. I don't think that's true. I don't think that they're better. I think that they do have some class and racial advantages. I think that they do tend to group together a little bit better, and things of that nature, and I'm not sure why that's so. But undeniably, in those two battlegrounds, they seem to win a little more often than the Alliance. And I would really like to hear some discussion on this. I'd like to hear from some of you. Send me an email. Talk to me in-game. Let me know what you think about it. Now, I do know this. I know that outside of the battlegrounds in World PvP as it exists now, you know, when they raid Ashtonar or we raid Crossroads or something of that nature, it seems to me the opposite is true. Every time I've taken part in World PvP, the Horde comes out on the short end of the stick when the day is done. Now, that's just my experience. I don't think so. I think I've had a broad enough sample of experience now to make that generalization, that in World PvP, overall, generalization now, it seems to me the Alliance wins. And I don't know if that will carry through to this World PvP they're going to introduce as being, you know, an objective-based World PvP. I don't know if that's going to carry through or not. I don't know how they're going to limit that. You know, if they place very many limitations on it, then it'll cease to be World PvP and become kind of an instanced kind of thing, so they can't put a whole lot of limitations on it. But it has been my experience in World PvP, especially as my rogue. You know, in a battlefield, you know the rogue is there. You can look at the list of the players that are in the battlefields. You know the rogue is there, and so you prepare for it, you expect him, so forth. In World PvP, you really don't know if there's a rogue out there or not, you know. And the element of surprise, which is so essential to success for the rogue class, you know, is there. And so in World PvP, it's been my experience that the Horde come out on the short end of the stick often. So, I don't know. Flame away if you want. You know, send me ugly emails if you want. I don't know. Maybe your experience is a little different than mine, but those are some of my perspectives on PvP. I do think in the Gulch, and especially in the Alterac, the Arathi Basin, that the Horde tend to do a little better. But in Alterac, it's even. And in World PvP, I think the Alliance does a little better. That's just been my observations. So that kind of opens our discussion of player versus player. Want to do a little bit more today, but over the next few broadcasts, we're going to do a lot more on it. But let's talk about just some general things about player versus player. I'm not just talking now about battlefields, but I'm talking about as it takes place in the world generally today and looking forward as it will take place as open world PvP is introduced, even on the normal realms. You know, some of the things about player versus player. I'm a longtime war gamer, and I've played war games, you know, all of my life. I guess I started around 7 or 8 years old playing chess, and you know, moved from there to board war games before computers came out. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember that. You know, Avalon Hill and some of those companies that made very intricate board war games, and then moved from the board war games to pen and paper games and miniatures and Dungeons and Dragons. And then when computers came out, I began doing computer gaming in 1981 with the Texas Instrument. And you know, so I'm a long time war gamer. I'm also a veteran, a Vietnam era veteran. I didn't go to Nam, but I served while Nam was ongoing, the last 2 years of Nam, in the Air Force. And so I received some military training and some military experience. And in player versus player, the general principles of war apply. And one of the first principles of war is knowing when to fight and when not to fight. Take, for example, the U.S. military going into Iraq. Whatever your political views are of that, you know, that's not what we're here to talk about. But do you think when the military, the U.S., invaded Iraq, that the military gave any thought to wanting to make the battle fair? Do you think they went into that saying, look, we want to give Saddam Hussein's military a fair chance to win? Obviously not. The idea of going into battle is never to go into battle when it's fair. To never go into battle when the other side has at least as much chance to win as you do. The only time you go into a battle like that is when you're forced to. But when you have a choice, you always want to prepare yourself and the battlefield, and you want to go into the battle with the battle won before the first shot is ever fired. And that applies to player versus player. You wait until you have a decisive advantage to engage the enemy. Now, as a rogue, and I have a 60 rogue and a 60 priest and working on a mage and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, as a rogue, for example, if there are 4 60 horde, I don't care what their classes are, only a foolish rogue would go up and engage them. You can't go up as a 60 rogue and engage 4 60s and expect to win. In fact, right now, with the way the rogue class is gimped, you know, you're going to have a hard time winning just 1-on-1. Okay, so you don't go into situations, normally speaking, that you've lost before you go into. You want to pick a situation, you want to pick a circumstance, you want to prepare the battlefield and get it to the where you have a decisive advantage. You decide when the battle takes place. You decide when it's engaged, where it's engaged, how it's engaged. And this is just old principle. You know, he who hits first tends to win. He who prepares and sets up the battlefield tends to win. And this is the rogue's advantage. Using stealth, the rogue has this advantage. But every class can do this to one degree or another to prepare the battlefield. If in the world you're PvP activated in a normal realm, or you're playing in a player versus player realm, and you ride up over a rise and you see 3 horde down there and you're alone, you don't want to rush down into the middle of them. I mean, that's not what you want to do. Now, what can you do? You can do several things to try and separate them, get them alone, and set up a situation where you can go at them. If you're rogue, you stealth down, you wait until two of them are distracted, or you sap one and distract the other and kill one, and then boom, vanish, you know. But you prepare the battlefield. You give some thought before going into battle about what your chances are of winning. And you don't go into battle until you feel like you have a decisive edge. And that's just good common sense. You don't engage in player versus player, in battle, in war, giving any thought to making it fair for the other guy. This is one reason why I'm an avid ganker. I gank, I admit it. I don't make any bones about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I play on a normal realm. If a lower leveled person is foolish enough to come into my eyesight, PvP activated, he's going to die. You know, if I have the advantage, he's going to die. And it's important that that happen. It's important that a player put some thought into going into PvP, thinking, knowing there's somebody out there who can beat him. It's important that that's on his mind. And it's not going to be on people's mind if you say, oh, well, it'd be unfair for me to attack him. And no such thing as unfair. What is the old saying? All is fair in love and war. I don't know about the love part, but I do know about the war. All is fair in war. All is fair in war. Okay? And I'm not talking about cheating. That's not fair as far as, you know, making bots or automated movements or things of that nature that aren't allowed. I don't mean that kind of thing is fair, but I'm talking about within the parameters of the game, all is fair in love and war. And I think that's the first thing that I want to talk to you about in PvP. You got to get out of your mind the idea of being fair. You want to be unfair. You want to have the biggest advantage that you can. You want to shape the battlefield, make the battlefield your battlefield, so that when you go into battle, you win, and you win decisively. And that is the first thing I bring to your attention here about PvP, and that I want you to keep in mind. There's lots of ways to do it. Baiting, for example, as a rogue. You know, I will often engage the service of a lower class individual. I have two computers. Sometimes it's my own lower class individual. I know a lot of times, you know, right now I'm bringing a mage up. It's 18. And a lot of times that he's running around and my rogue is stealth behind him. My 60 rogue is stealth behind him. The other day, I was working with the mage in Lochmoden. And all of a sudden, on the world PvP thing, you know, it says, well, somebody is coming up the Don Alguez gate. Well, I happen to be right there in that area. So, my rogue was stealth behind my mage. I think the mage was, you know, 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. And I popped it over to the gate, and out pops this 40 shaman. Okay? So, what do I do? I activate PvP on my little 13, 14, 15 mage and start popping him. He laughs, then he dies. But see, I shaped that battlefield using bait to draw him in. And once he was drawn in, I killed him with superior force. And that's the idea of a battle. That's how true battles are fought. No thought for fairness. No thought for giving the other guy an equal chance. You don't want to ever give them an equal chance. The idea is to beat them. So get out of the idea that this is a fair fest. We don't want fairness. We want victory. That is what we're after. And that's the way you have to approach PvP. Well, that's about it. That's what I'm going to talk to today. I realize that's kind of rudimentary. It's kind of fundamental. But I've met a lot of people, you know, who don't understand that. You know, I met a lot of people who will condemn ganking. Oh, that's not fair. And I've met a lot of people, you know, Horde, who you know, will jump on Alliance character and say, well, you know, you weren't being fair, blah, blah, blah. And I tell them every time, I don't play to be fair. I play to win. And that's really how all PvP should do. And our upcoming, we're going to talk about some general things about PvP. We're going to talk about the idea of jumping before you're jumped. We're going to talk about corpse camping. We're going to talk about the buddy system, how important it is to go into PvP with buddies. We're going to talk about using the landscape. We're going to talk about using cities and buildings. We're going to talk about controlling the battlefield, escape, knowing when to escape and how to escape. We're going to talk about dying well. There is a time and a place to die. I remember the old Pat Moody, you know, no SOB ever won a war by dying for his country, but he makes the other poor SOB die for his country. Well, that's true, of course, but, you know, there are times, especially in the battlefields, the way they are arranged, when you need to die. You need to sacrifice yourself. And you really don't lose anything for doing it. You know, if I rush into three horde and delay them so the flag runner can get into cat, that was a good death. There are times to die. We're going to talk about that, when to die and how to die well. We're going to talk about creativity in battle. We're going to talk about preparation. We're going to talk about handling dots, restorative potions, your best friend. We're going to talk about knowing when to fight and when not to fight. Just a whole ton of things like this. We're going to talk about hit and run strategies. We're going to talk about all of these things over the next few programs having to do with PvP. And then we're going to talk about class strengths and weaknesses in PvP. So we'll look at each class in turn and talk about their strengths and weaknesses. So that's kind of a preview of what we'll be doing in some of the upcoming programs in talking about PvP. But we've gone 35 minutes, and that's more than enough time for a program. We appreciate you tuning in today to the Angels broadcast, the podcast, and we hope you'll tune in every week for the podcast. Remember to visit our website at wowangels.org, WWANGELS.org, wowangels.org, on the website. And until next week, this is your host, Quinzit, a.k.a. Jack, signing off. Hey, be careful out there. We'll talk to you later. Bye.